Sure. I had trouble at first trying to fit it, you know, I had it backwards. Oh, well, I found it interesting, you know, that the call to worship is where my text is taken from as well. I never mentioned that to him, didn't mention it to anyone, you know, as far as where I was going to speak from, but it was John chapter 15, not the first 8 verses or so, but I kind of picked up with verse 12, and we're going to look at that here in a short while. But let's begin with prayer, okay? Father God, we have gathered here to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for our veterans, Lord, who stood. And that, Lord, indeed, that they are a blessing. Because of them and others, Lord, the freedom that we experience today that sometimes we take for granted. And sometimes we do a disservice as well. But Lord, for those who have served, will you richly bless their lives. Some of them, Lord, have lost loved ones as a result. But you're a God of all comfort who comforts us in our time of need. And I know that you are near to each and every one of them, as you are to each and every one of us that have gathered here this morning. And Father, we think also, as I see up here, the Shoebox Ministry, and that, Lord, that there are going to be children that will receive these gifts of love. And our prayer is, because there are places that some of the children, they have no idea of what it means to be loved, especially to be loved by you. They've not heard the gospel message. For you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And our prayer is that as each child receives this gift, and for those who distribute those gifts, they'll be able to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. And children will respond and to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Lord, we as a group of believers have gathered. And you, O Spirit, you're the one that can reveal truth to us. Even though I've been asked to come and to speak, but Lord, I do not want your people to hear what I have to say. I want them to hear what you have to say about our journey with you, even in the struggles that we go through in life. Lord, you are that friend that we embrace, a friend who is always there with us, who never leaves us, never forsakes us. And we thank you. It's all in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So once again, if you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John. We will look at it. As I mentioned, I got to kind of move around a little bit because my back, you know, stiffens up, you know. And you could be praying for me also because I got quite a few tests coming up here in the next two weeks. I got to have a CT scan, I guess, this coming week. I got to drink that fluid, I don't know what it is, it's a bottle, you know, and you got to drink it 2 different times, you know, and it's a contrast of what they got to do. And I'm hoping it tastes like, you know, lemonade or iced tea, but I guess it won't. That's what I've been told, but I got to have that done. And then I got to see a gastroenterologist, if I can get that word right. I got to see that on Monday, a week ago from Monday. And then after that, an MRI a week from Wednesday on my because they found a cyst on my pancreas, and then they want to just make sure, you know, everything's okay. And then I think then on 2 weeks from Monday, an injection on my back, you know, so but God knows, you know, and I just gotta, you know, entrust, you know, everything, as you all do as well, into the hands of our Heavenly Father, because He's in control. You know, I mean, I'm thankful, you know, for the wisdom that God does give to doctors and or nurses, you know, that helps us, you know, in the journey that we are on. But ultimately, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our divine healer, and He is our comforter as well through the Holy Spirit that He's given to all of us. So, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and again, picking up with verse 12, You know, Jesus does emphasize to his disciples, and keep in mind, as he's talking to his disciples there in that upper room, knowing about, you know, what is about to unfold, knowing very well Judas had already left the scene, and that one who betrayed him. And also, you know, he knew that his disciples were, they said a lot of things, but he knew that they were going to run away. He knew that Peter would deny him, and he told him about that as well. And yet he stressed the importance to continue to remain, to abide in me. As he is, has pointed out, he is the vine, we are the branches. And so keep that in mind to his disciples, but also to each one of us as well, how important it is to remain in him, to abide in him through prayer, through the fellowship that we have here in this worship service, through the scriptures as we read. You know, we're abiding, we're remaining in him. But it's interesting what Jesus says there in verse 12 as we pick up there. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Now, Jesus was a friend of sinners, but also he is your friend. He is my friend. You know, you and I, we long to have a friend that we kind of, you know, buddy up with, you know, and, you know, with a friend, you know, you can always kind of just share, especially someone, you know, not everyone could be your friend. You know, sometimes, you know, well, I don't know if I could be a friend with this person, you know, because if I say too much, you know, it's going to be all over Clappertown. And not only Clappertown, it's going to be all over Martinsburg. And then probably end up in Williamsburg as well. And who knows where else it would kind of go. But there are those friends that we can confidently share with, because we know that they're loyal, they're trustworthy, they're faithful, they know how to keep quiet as well, but they also know when to speak up. And Jesus says to each one of us, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. The friendship of God. You know, we can go to him anytime. He's not shocked by what we share with him. He is not surprised. You know, we kind of do some things, you know, that are kind of, you know, ridiculous, or sometimes we kind of make a mess of things. I know I have done that. I've said things, you know, things have come out of my mouth, you know, at times. I'm thinking, why in the world did I even say something like that? Or sometimes there are certain thoughts, you know, that may enter my mind. Because the thing of it is, we need to keep in mind, you know, in the world that we live in, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. We have been delivered from the power of sin. But we have not been delivered from the presence of sin. And thank God there's a day coming, you know, that's all sin, as we know of it, you know, will be totally gone. And no more temptations that we will go through in life. But as we do that, you know, and as I experience that in my own journey, you know, God's not up there saying, you know, boy, I didn't see that coming. He already knows. You know, even though with all, as I mentioned to you, all these tests that you've gone through as far as physical tests, even for me, God doesn't up there. He doesn't say, I didn't see that coming. He already knew. And I like that one hymn, which we'll sing, Lord willing, at the very end of the service. And you all know it, I'm sure. What a friend we have in Jesus. You all know that hymn? Yeah. And the words go, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Think about that. All our sins, all our griefs, all our pain doesn't take him by surprise. He knows that the journey that we were on, we will go through those times. And he's just saying to us, come to me with all your sins. Come to me with all your grief. Come to me with all your pain, because I long to give you peace and comfort and to restore you to my love and to my goodness. The song continues, have we trials and temptations? Yep, we sure do. Is there trouble anywhere? Sure is. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. How often we become discouraged because of the trials and the temptations that we encounter and even the problems that occur. I mean, Jesus even said there at the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 16, at the very end, he said, let not your heart be troubled. In this world, you will have what? Problems. We live in a world that's full of problems. It's very troubling as well. But he says, don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, because I have overcome the world. He wants us to rest secure in him and take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. It doesn't take him by surprise. He knows. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, and thou wilt find a solace there. Those words are so, so comforting, you know, and it's amazing because some of the hymns that we read, you know, there's so much that's there that we can identify with. You know, the trials, the temptations, the sins, on and on it goes. And as I think about that first stanza there that I shared with you, you know, about all our sins and griefs to bear and all the pain that we go through, you know, in life. You know, you and I, we were born into sin. And David addresses that, you know, there in Psalm chapter 51. You know, in sin, my mother, you know, I was conceived in sin. And there was a divine moment in our lives. You know, maybe some of us can remember the day. Sometimes we can't. I can't remember the day, but I remember the moment. As I shared with that with you, you know, about 2 weeks ago. When Jesus became real to me. I mean, think of it as, you know, he chose me before I even chose him. And on that night, unbeknownst, I mean, I didn't go to church, you know, even as a child, you know, with the idea, you know, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. I didn't think that was even going to happen. That wasn't in my mind, though I was young at that time and didn't fully understand everything as far as what it means to be, you know, a believer in Christ. But that very night, he chose me. That very day and or night, he chose you to become a believer in him, that it is by faith that we place our trust in him because of what he has done for us, that he took on your sin, he took on my sin. I didn't have all those words at that time, but I knew that something different took place. And you knew in your heart and in your life as well, something wonderful happened in your life and in your heart that revolutionized your journey with Jesus Christ. From that moment on, you know, when the Bible talks about all our sins that we can share with Jesus, you know, just because when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ did not exempt us from sin. Because as I mentioned earlier, we were delivered at that moment, we were delivered from the penalty and from the power of sin, but the presence of sin, it's still around us. It is still there. And we struggle with that. Paul even says, you know, there in Romans chapter 7, we can identify with Paul, you know, because in Paul's mind, he says, you know, I know the right thing based on God's word. And he says, you know, the law is good, but I end up doing the very thing that I hate. And therefore, it is sin that is in me. And he goes on to say, you know, and how many of us, you know, at times, you know, yeah, I know the right thing, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. For example, you know, there are three, you know, sins that we can become aware of, you know, as a child of God, as a believer in Christ. There's the sin of commission, where we actively do something that is wrong. It could be that of lying. It could be that of stealing. It could be that of adultery. It could be that of murder. Now, we may not have murdered anyone, but Jesus said something very interesting, that if you are angry towards someone, or if you hate someone, it's as what? Murder. And also, he said, if you lust after someone, it is what? Adultery. And I think we're all guilty in that realm, and we struggle with that because we're not delivered from the presence of sin. Or it could be the sins of omission. You know, the sin of omission, you know, is knowing to help someone in need, but yet we don't do it because we know we have the means to do it. But we often think, you know, well, let someone else take care of it. I won't do it. I'm too busy. Which reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. All know that story, do we not? You know that how this one gentleman was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and some robbers came on the scene, you know, and beat him up and left him for dead. Then all of a sudden, one day, you know, the priest happens to walk by, sees the gentleman that was badly wounded, and he just keeps on walking. He had the means to take care of him, but he thought, nope, I'm not even going to bother. And even a Levite also just happened to walk by and said, no, I'm not going to get involved. You know, this is not my territory, this is not my expertise. But the Good Samaritan walked by and took care of him and made sure his wounds were all bandaged and took him, you know, to an inn and paid, you know, for his keep there and told the innkeeper, he said, I'll be back. But if there's still some money involved, I'll make sure that I'll square everything up for you. And yet he ministered. And how many times do we pass people up knowing that we have the very means to give them a lending hand? The sin of omission. We fall short. I don't want us to feel bad, but I want us to become aware of the journey that we are on with the sins that are out there, you know. Because I know that there are times, you know, I remember years ago when I was pastoring up in Stettina, that's near Erie, that way out in the country, when I was pastoring a small church, country church. And I would visit people out into the community, you know, just to kind of introduce myself so they will know, you know, who I was, you know. I mean, I was, you know, just kind of getting out there, you know. And of course, I was young, you know, I had a lot of energy, you know, and I was just kind of going. Nowadays, you know, if I go visit people, you know, I'm just kind of, oh, okay. I need a little extra strength here to be able to muster, you know, what needs to be done. But anyways, when I went out there, you know, the Lord was impressing upon my heart that he was a farmer. He was a hard worker. He was one of the Sterets because the community was Sterettania. And so his last name was a Steret. And he was beginning to tell me all about the past history, you know, of Sterettania, you know, how it was founded, you know, how it got its roots and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera. And the Lord was impressing upon my heart. This is my first visit, not knowing anything about him, other than he invited me into the house. And the Lord was impressing upon my heart, share with him the good news. And I was young, you know, and I thought, Lord, I don't even know much about him. In fact, he's husky and he's built. And, you know, if I start sharing the gospel with me, he might, you know,
hit me.
And the Lord just kept pressing upon my mind. I thought, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what. In my mind, I'm thinking this, you know, has the Lord impressing this upon my heart? You know, I had the means, know what I should have been doing. But I said, no, Lord, I'll do it next time, because I know that I usually follow up on people. I said, I will do it another time. 2 days later, he died of a massive heart attack. A sin. Because I knew what God wanted me to do and had the means of sharing, but just didn't do it. It's still in my mind, but I know the Lord has forgiven me, but I've never forgotten it. Now, when God impresses upon your mind to help someone out who is in need, and you have the means to do it, I encourage you to do it. For some reason, God's impressing that on you. The sin of omission. And even the sin of disposition, our attitudes. You know, I think we all struggle with our attitudes, you know, about circumstances, about people, about things. We all, you know, and I know, you know, there sometimes, you know, there are certain circumstances that we go through in life that we either like or we do not like. I mean, I don't like this idea of getting old. I really don't like it. There's too many changes that's taking place. I mean, you know what my doctor said to me? And this is where I really miss my wife. Well, there's so many factors, you know, as far as missing my wife, because she was a nurse, and she was one I would often consult with. You know, as far as, you know, hey, got this ailment, you know, do you know what's going on? She would tell me, and she would tell me also, you know, she said, Rich, I think you need to go see a doctor. Whether I would agree or disagree, you know, I would listen to her, and I miss that. And finally, I told my doctor here just recently, probably in about the past couple months, I said, Doc, I said, I'm seeing you a lot more now. I said, because I had someone to consult with, you know, was my dear wife. He said, but now I'm coming in here and I'm seeing you a lot more. You know what he said to me? He said, Rich, he said, that's okay because it's helping to pay for my mortgage. I thought, well, yeah, probably is, you know. I said, but that's beside the point. You know, and so all those adjustments, you know, I don't even like the idea, you know. I remember years ago, my father, you know, he cut timber for a living, and I mean, he had massive hands. You know, if you would shake hands with him, you know, you'd be looking for your hand. He would just kind of bury it in his, you know, because of working all those years, you know, carrying a chainsaw. And but anyways, you know, as I thought about my father, you know, and the relationship, you know, that I had with him, you know, it's just, you know, the journey that we are on. And to help each other out, you know, that we go through in life, you know, with those circumstances that seems to change, you know, for us. They're unpredictable when things happen. Even when we kind of, like I said, we get sick or there's something going on with our finances, you know, or even when the weather kind of changes in on us. But yet God is faithful, and I got to hold on to that. And even when I still struggle, as I shared in my testimony, you know, with the passing of my wife, that's a circumstance, you know, that I frankly still don't understand. Because I thought we would share, as I don't need to repeat myself, but I thought we would share our retirement years together. And it just wasn't to be. And I don't understand that, you know, but God, he sees the whole picture. He knows. Even when I don't understand, the scripture says there in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 29, there towards the end, he said, the mysteries we leave with God, but what he does reveal, we embrace. And I just shared with someone recently, you know, I said the one thing that I may not understand, and it's a mystery to me, but what I embrace is God's love. I got to hold on to the love that he has for me. And you got to embrace when life becomes complicated and circumstances go against you. Embrace the love of God, because he never forgets you. He's there with you each and every day. Even when with our attitudes that kind of go awry, he's still, you know, he's not up there. When our attitude, when we have a bad attitude, you know, he's not up there saying, oh, I didn't see that coming. He already knows. He knows, because the thing about God, you know, which we don't deserve when you think about it, when we came alive in him with our spirit, he has declared you, he has declared me to be righteous, to be pure, holy. I don't deserve that. But God says, this is who you are. Because even when the Apostle Paul mentioned about his sin that he was struggling with, and whether it was, you know, a commission, omission, or disposition, Paul cried out, you know, oh God, what a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And he goes in to thank God for chapter 8, you know, because he says there, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because he has set you free. Yes, we will struggle in this journey that we are on. I will struggle, but I got to be focused upon Jesus. Because one day, guess what, folks? We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be with Jesus one day. We're going to be there. He's written the final chapter on all this. And so as we continue to journey, keep that in mind. Even with our grief that we go through, we've all experienced grief in one form or another. I think the hardest grief, you know, and yet I'm going to remind you of Jesus. You know, he was a man of sorrows. All our griefs, he fully understands. He knows what we go through. And the shortest verse in the Bible, you know, I remember, you know, as a boy, you know, a kid, you know, growing up, you know, we always had to memorize scripture. For some reason, everyone wanted to memorize, you know, Jesus wept. Because it was the shortest, you know, verse in the Bible. It was easy to remember that one, you know. But that's so true. When he stood there, you know, at the gravesite of Lazarus, the scripture says what? He wept. Because I believe he knew through the corridors of time there'd be times of weeping in our lives as well, through the grief over the loss of a loved one, or even the loss of a job, or the loss of security. Whatever your loss has been like, you know, it's painful and it hurts deeply. And we grieve over that loss that we have experienced in life. And yet I got to keep in perspective, you know, Jesus is there. He holds me. Even yesterday when I was just kind of sitting outside for a little bit, you know, I have a porch swing because I'm kind of putting things away, which does wonders, you know, for my back, you know, when I'm putting things away. I just got to be careful. I don't know how to slow down yet. But anyways, you know, I'm just sitting there for a little bit, you know, and as I'm sitting there, you know, and we meet with God in different ways. For me, I love to be in the outdoors. I like to be outside. And I just, sometimes I like to look upward, you know, and to watch the clouds that are kind of floating by. And as I was doing that, you know, sitting there on that swing, you know, just by myself, where my wife would usually kind of join me as well, if it was a warm day. If it's a chilly day, you know, she wouldn't be out there. But on this particular day, I was just sitting there. And I just cried out to the Lord in my spirit, in my heart. Just crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, you know, about the ministry here, and what God has for all of you. You know, I'm praying for you. I want you to know that. You know, God has a plan. He hasn't forgotten you. He has not abandoned you. As Jeremy reminded me this morning, you know, God still loves all of you. He does. He does. Whatever God has in mind, follow his lead, however he takes it. But as I thought about that, you know, I was crying out, you know, and I thought, Lord, you know, sometimes I feel all alone. And you feel that, you know, when you experience loss. And it's like, in my inner spirit, God was saying, but I'm right here beside you. My hand is upon you. Rest in my love, my dear one. And that's what Jesus wants each and every one of us in the journey that we are on. However, whatever grief that we experience in life, he is that friend who laid down his life for you because of his tremendous love for you, that he gathers you to himself as a hen gathers chicks under its wings and under his wings. He gathers us. And even all the pain that we go through in life as well. You know, I had, not carpal tunnel, you know, but tennis elbow. I had to think there for a while. I had that, you know, about 6 months ago. And my chiropractor, who I was seeing, you know, at the time, he said, now, Rich, he said, if you want to, you know, help that to get better without having injections, he kind of told me, so just take your fingers like this and just dig. He said, now, it's going to hurt. You know, he was right. When you have carpal tunnel, you know, I mean, not carpal tunnel, you know, but tennis elbow, you know, it's amazing. It took forever for that to, I read an article, it says it usually takes about 6 months to heal. And every now and then I get this little ping, a little reminder. And I know what happened, you know, in the spring of the year, I was overdoing it. But anyway, that's how it developed. I don't want to go into that, you know. But boy, that, when I was digging into that, you know, boy, that would, I would go. Because it hurt. And Jesus would say to us in the pain that we go through in life, he would say, yeah, I know it hurts. And I know you're going through some painful times. And even a church goes through some painful moments. And it goes through the sense of loss. Because I'm sure you as a congregation, you remember the days of old. We all do that. We reminisce. We remember how the sanctuary was a little bit more fuller, don't we? I'm sure you do. And it pains us to see where we're at now, to a certain degree. I'm not saying this is a negative thing, but pain is okay. I've learned that, you know, because I gotta know that I hurt before I can find a remedy. And sometimes God allows us to, not because he's mean and wants us to hurt and be in pain, but he allows it so that we can find a remedy. And that remedy ultimately is Jesus. That he gives himself to you and to me in the journey that we are on. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we just don't take the time to be with Jesus. And Jesus is always available. You never have to make an appointment with him. And he never comes back and says, well, let me see, when can I fit you into my calendar? I got an opening here on the in December, you know, why not then? As we all know what that's about, don't we? Trying to make an appointment anymore, now we got to wait until a month, 2 weeks, or 6 months down the road. It's not like that with Jesus. You can go to him right now. As you're sitting there, you can go to him now. Because he longs to love you and to bring comfort and healing and strength and assurance and peace in your heart and your life even right now. He longs to do that. And so, Father, we thank you for your incredible gift, the gift of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for these reminders as well. Oh, Jesus, what a friend we have in you. Lord, we will sing this song to you as a reminder that you are there with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I think you're able to get that up on the screen. Okay, we're going to sing that song.